It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Stafford, receivers in tight. He gets the snap.
Stafford finds Kupp in the end zone.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Touchdown, Kupp! The Rams have taken the lead!
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
When the game is on the line, you need your playmakers to do it.
Yeah, a lot of trust in him.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
And that's the way legacies are born.
Earlier on the show, Rams safety Eric Weddle, Cowboys head coach Mike McCarthy. Still to come, Pro Football Hall of Famer Warren Sapp. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Hour number three of the Rich Eisen Show on the air. If you missed hour number one with Eric Weddle or hour number two with Dallas Cowboys head coach Mike McCarthy, please go to our YouTube page, youtube.com/Rich Eisen Show. Hit us with a subscription. We would greatly appreciate that. Our podcast as well, where all podcasts are acquired, but also the Cumulus Podcast Network. We say hello to our streaming viewers on NBC Sports on Peacock and those listening to us across the coasts, across the nation on our Rich Eisen Show terrestrial radio network, as well as Odyssey, Sirius XM Channel 85. And then, of course, as I mentioned, all of us here in the studio, Chris Brockman, Mike Del Tufo, good hour three to you. TJ Jefferson, still trying to take in what his head coach of the Dallas Cowboys, Mike McCarthy, said in hour number two. And I'm going to stop talking about our in-studio guest as if he's not here because he's staring at me saying, when are you going to introduce me?
I could feel it.
I could feel it from my right. Good to see my Hall of Fame friend.
I love it. What did Mike McCarthy say now?
Warren Sapp. No, he came on the program and, you know, he's nice enough to come on. And he said he did talk to Jerry Jones about the stuff that Jerry's saying in public, you know, and interesting enough, on, you know, how is a head coach supposed to say, take, you know, did you hear the stuff he was saying about Dan Quinn? The Jerry Jones stuff? Okay.
No.
So when Dan Quinn stayed, okay, he said, all of us wanted Dan to stay. That was the key to our continuity here. And then he mentioned how Quinn joined Sean Payton and Jason Garrett in coaches who want to stay because they love to be the head coach of the Dallas Cowboys. Everyone. So my point is, quote, in my mind, a lot of logic as to why they might not take a job right now rather than one or wait and see how the cards go in the future. When asked what that meant about, you know, his current coach, Jones said, Mike McCarthy knows that someday somebody other than him will be coach of the Cowboys.
That's Jerry.
Right?
You don't expect anything.
Did you ever have somebody at the top of the flow chart talk about a coach like that?
No.
That never happened, right?
No, we had a real good organization. Well, it was Al. You know, when Al pulled out the overhead, God bless his soul, the great Al Davis, it was old. You know, it was old when the overhead come out.
So. Right.
Other than Al, everything else. But
that didn't happen when Dungy was there, right?
And then they switched up to
Gruden, right? I mean, like, that didn't.
Well, that wasn't pretty either.
Right.
That wasn't pretty either. Losing your head coach, especially one, I don't know how loved Mike McCarthy is with all the timeouts and the decision making and the craziness that went on all year long. I mean, you saw it lead up to what the Cowboys ended, and you can't predict Jerry Jones's demise, and then it plays out in front of him, and he does nothing about it. I mean, you know he's going to shake the tree.
Yeah, I'm just wondering how that plays in the locker room. That's all.
When Jerry's your owner, you don't worry about it. Like when Al was our owner, you didn't worry about it. I mean, you want answers, go see him. He'll give you the answer what you're looking for.
Mm-hmm. Did you ever go to Al's office, Al Davis?
Yeah, I went to Al in the locker room to get the defense changed over to 4-3, and Rob Ryan wanted to kill me. Sorry, Robbo.
I'll buy it. I need more on that. What do you
mean?
Listen,
we're in Denver, and I got Derek Burgess outside, who's the meanest left end in the game and the baddest one I ever played with.
Mm-hmm.
And then I want to rush, and then I'm teaching Tommy Kelly how to play the game, and they just gave him a $50 million contract. And then I got Chris Clemens, the young guy that turned out to be pretty good in Seattle. Remember him?
Right, yes.
And I had him young, so I had a good full group. And Robbo's playing with this 3-4 stretch thing, and we're in Denver, and they got Ben Hamilton and that other little guard, and they're pulling me out on third down. I'm going crazy. I want to pull my hair out. So after the game, Derek Gibson looks at me, the old Florida State Seminole, say, what's the matter with you? I mean, Rich, I got smoke coming out of my ears.
Right.
I was pulled out on third down all game long. He was like, go to Al. I'm like, what? You know, I'm used to Tampa, you know. I go see Dungy, I go see Money, you know. Mm-hmm. Go talk to Rod. I don't go see the head, the owner of the team. Go see Al. You want something changed around here? So I walk around the corner. I'm still in my cleats. I hadn't done any work. I walk around the corner. He's standing at the locker room. I walked up to him. I said, what'd you bring me here to do? He said, excuse me? I said, what did you bring me here to do?
That was your opener with Al Davis.
Listen, I had smoke coming out of my ears at this point, Rich. They could have sent me home, and I wouldn't have gave a damn at that point because they wasn't using me, and I was in a 3-4 dying. I mean, dying a slow death. So I say, what did you bring me here to do? Excuse me? I said, what did you bring me here to do? Attack the quarterback. I said, well, I can't do it if I'm on the sideline or on a 3-4. I need four up front, and I don't give a damn what they play behind. They can play cover 0-9, whatever,
right.
57, whatever. We're going to get the quarterback. He said, I'll fix it. The Monday, we go and watch the tape. Tuesday, we off. We come back Wednesday morning. Robbo's sitting at the top of this stage with the grease board up, and his hair is everywhere. And he looked like he has a pound of doodle underneath his nose. I mean, he has a look on his face. He goes, I can't believe it. One of my players went to the effing owner to change the defense. Burgess down in front looked back and said, is that you, big homie? I said, yes, sir. I said, Robbo smashed the board. Boom! We're going to line up four across 99, 56, 91, 93, and we're going to play man-to-man behind it. I looked up. I said, what I learned is that just bought me another half a second. Let's go. We went into Tennessee. I had 3 sacks. Stacked Steve McNair, God bless his soul, for a sack calls from a Robbo, came to me in the locker room after the game, grabbed me and looked at me and said, that's all money Kiffin was doing all these years? I said, pretty much, baby. Turn me loose on third down. I get it done. And now we had the number 3 defense and 2 wins. But, hey, you know, that's all in the past. Yeah, I had to go to Al and get the defense. I didn't know this.
So if you want to just go to Jerry in Dallas.
You got to go to Jerry.
Right?
Who else calls the shots?
Well, he's supposed to be the coach, right? I mean, but I just...
Not in Cowboy. It's called Jones Mahal for a reason, baby.
Warren Sapp here on the Rich Eisen Show. All right, let me just get right to it.
Let's go.
Right to the meat and potatoes. 99 in your program, number 1 in your heart here in Los Angeles. How good is Aaron Donald?
The best thing going besides... I can't say that. Since sliced bread. I mean, you know what? I was watching him in the game.
Yes.
And they had put him in that Mike Marks. When you remember my name, Mike Marks used to talk about the 99 championship game?
Yeah.
Where he said he just threw everything in the kitchen sink at me?
Yes.
That's what they did in the first half of this game. And for some reason, the Cincinnati Bengals and their quarterback decide to wake this monster up. I mean, you give him the sack because you don't run out of bounds or, you know, he pushes you. No problem. Then they decide to smash him and they hit him in the face, Rich, and they woke this monster up. They went to scheming with a little wrinkle in the defense to mug the center.
Mm-hmm.
And my God, did he wake up and go through that guard. Ran right through him and just turned it up. And then Von Miller turned it up on the last drive.
Right.
I was on the phone with a friend of mine who used to be a Hall of Fame voter. And he was like, listen, Sapp, Joe Burrow is driving it. I said, listen here, son. This is a pass rusher's dream right now. I just need one. I just need one rush right now, and I'm a world champion.
Right.
There's no way Joe Burrow gets away, not with that O-line. And today, 2-3 days after the Super Bowl, we still can't name those 5 guys. That's what I'm trying to tell you.
So,
you can't have the offensive player of the year, comeback player of the year, whatever Joe Burrow was, all these beautiful things, and have him under that kind of pressure in that kind of situation for the world championship. He didn't have a chance to look at anybody, and they showing me, Jamar Chase made Jalen Ramsey fall.
Right.
The front and the back end work together.
Yes,
baby.
If you got
no way to see it, he ain't open.
We quote you all the time about that front and the back end work together. So, all right, rewind a little bit. So that moment when Burrow gets hit by Donald, and I mean, he hit him legally.
No sack. Oh, but out of bounds? Oh.
Out of bounds.
Come on.
Right.
He pushed him.
Oh, he pushed him. Right?
He was out of bounds. No foul.
He was clearly in the field
of
play. No doubt. And
so
ready
now,
to be hit.
All these linemen,
right.
Go get your quarterback. Go back to the huddle. Leave this monster alone. You just gave him a sack. So let him get his gift wrap sack, go back to the huddle, and now find a way to block him again and then go drive the ball. Do not push this man in the face and wake him up. Now you got all 11 riled up.
Mm-hmm.
Trust me.
I remember that. I remember that moment. And then, of course, he comes up with the sack to stop the drive.
After they mugged the center, he runs right through the guard. Well, I mean, running through him.
Right, and then that kept him to three after the pick, after the touchdown to start the second half. And that kept it. That kept it a one-score game. And then, obviously, Donald calling game at the end of the game.
Oh.
So it's interesting. I'm Warren Sapp here on the Rich Eisen Show. You talking about throwing kitchen sinks and all that sort of stuff at him. What do you make of a 30-year-old saying he's thinking of retiring, even though he hasn't said it, but word out there is that he's thinking of retiring? Do you believe it? What do you think?
Yes. I mean, the money they're giving them, I mean, why not put it somewhere and invest in Bitcoin or whatever, crypto, and go sit on the beach and enjoy your children, because he's done enough. I mean, look at the resume.
He's in your
oh,
room.
No,
Ken.
Oh, no, he's above me. He's above me.
He's above you.
Listen, Rich, I looked at this thing with the 7 straight All-Pros. I can't name a guard that he's going against, but, you know, he's still 7 straight All-Pros.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he's still rushing the hell out of that quarterback. I mean, can get it.
That's why I'm saying retiring.
I don't like his run game play. Not at all, because you can't never show me a game where somebody ran the ball at me 40 times and beat me. That's it. How did you move the ball? You're running it 40 times. Where did you move it at on these run plays? Because that ain't going down, not for 4 quarters. Nah, I hate that part of his game, but everything else, impeccable.
So you do, I'm trying to get inside the mindset of somebody in that trench.
He'll be the 6th first ballot Hall of Fame defensive tackle behind me, Mean Joe Green, Merlin Olsen, Bob Lilly, and Randy White. That's a 6-pack that you cannot, you do not want to see on any Sunday afternoon. And then Johnny Randall is backing us up. I mean, it's unbelievable. So we got a collection. It's a collection of great men that played the game at the defensive tackle position, and he's right there with all of us.
Well, I'm just trying to get inside the trenches where a 30-year-old would even be thinking,
you finish at 30, remember?
Well, it's running back.
That's running across back. The board. Look it up. See how many defensive linemen are 30 years plus and have 10 sacks. It's less than 15.
So you think it would be
me, Reggie White, right. Bruce Smith, Johnny Randall, a couple other guys like that, Leslie O'Neal or something like that, some guys like that. But it's less than 10 or 15. It's only 10 or 15 of us.
So you believe the conversation that he might be thinking of retiring?
Yeah. I mean, when you get bounced around and pinballed around in that thing, I mean, them hips and them arms, and you ache. You ache. I mean, I played 13 good years in this thing, and it hurt. I got a new hip, and I'm ready to ride my bike and do the fishing and scuba and everything that I do, but this game will take a toll on you.
So it's believable.
It's definitely believable.
He just looks like Adonis, and he makes it look so easy, ooh, you know, so it's kind of surprising.
He does, baby.
No, that's what I'm saying. It's kind of surprising that he, because again, that's.
What's left?
You know?
3-time defensive player of the year, world champion. Pro Bowls, All Pros.
I don't know.
Matched by none, except maybe Bob Lilly and Merlin Olsen and Mean Joe, because I think he had 10. Yeah. Those guys are 10, 12, 13, 14 years like that. So he's halfway there.
Warren Sapp here on the Rich Eisen Show. Let's take a break. Come back. I want to hit about the Hall of Fame class with you. Richard Sherman's talking a lot about Matthew Stafford not deserving it. I want to get your sense on that. I want so much more from Warren Sapp, and we're going to get it from 99 in your program, number one in your heart. Next, live on the Rich Eisen Show in a moment. Let's talk Sleep Number, people, because quality sleep is so essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs, and the same thing for your partner, so you can choose what's right for each of you whenever you like. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side, helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature, quiets your snores or your partner's? Sleep Number does that. My Sleep Number setting is 60. My wife's is 70. 10 numbers apart, but it truly is the world of difference. The Sleep Number sleep that you get is unbelievable. You will love it. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now you could save 50%. That's 50%. on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com. Let's talk O'Reilly Auto Parts, people. Or as you might know from their jingle, O-O-O, O'Reilly Auto Parts. They're in the business of keeping your car on the road. O'Reilly Auto Parts offers friendly, helpful service and the parts knowledge you need for all your maintenance and repairs. Because you know when you need your car fixed, you need somebody who knows what they're talking about and is helpful, has a smile on their face, and gets you back on the road. They've got thousands of parts and accessories in stock, either in-store or online, so you never have to worry if you're in a jam. The team at O'Reilly Auto Parts can test your battery for free in or out of your car. If it needs to be replaced, they'll help you just find the right battery for your vehicle. Need your windshield wipers replaced, a brake light fix, or a quick service? They'll help you find the right part or point you to the nearest local repair shop for help. Whether you're a car aficionado or an auto novice, you will find the employees at O'Reilly Auto Parts knowledgeable, helpful, and the best of all, friendly. Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts today or visit us at O'ReillyAuto.com/Eisen. That's O'ReillyAuto.com/Eisen. Back here on the Rich Eisen Show, right here on NBC Sports on Peacock, Sirius XM 85. Our radio audience terrestrially will join us shortly. Warren Sapp here in studio, hanging with us here for hour number three, the Tuesday after the Super Bowl, for NFL honors on Thursday night. Because this kind of jarred my memory here a little bit when you said that Aaron Donald's above you, is what you said. Okay, so we had that Thursday night for the honors. Is your microphone on there?
I don't know.
There is. It's on. Okay. So Thursday night. No, Del Tufo's freaking out over there. So Thursday night for the honors, when all the Hall of Famers that they asked to announce the incoming class for honors, because they had a specific connection with them. Okay. Everyone was wearing their gold jackets, but Bruce decided to wear his burgundy NFL 100 all-time team jacket. And I thought that was a flex. I thought that was a little bit of a flex just to walk around and say, you know, there is a step up.
They had a 100 sack club meeting here in L.A. too.
Did they really?
And I missed it by 3.5.
That was Bruce, Vaughn, right?
Oh, it's a bunch of
Donald, right?
Monsters. Clyde Simmons.
Yeah, D. Ware is in that, and he didn't get in. He didn't get in first ballot.
Devin Hester's the all-time most dangerous man that you would ever think about kicking the ball to, and he didn't get in.
You know what?
I am blown away by this. I had three Canes that have pretty much Hall of Fame resumes without it. Because Andre Johnson, you got to go get Jerry Rice to top his numbers. That's Jesus and cleats. But playmaker's words. What am I missing here?
Yeah, Reggie Wayne too was in the mix.
Well, Reggie Wayne's got a nice resume.
Well, he'll come in.
Hines Ward can't even get a sniff.
I don't understand that.
I looked at them numbers. You seen those numbers? 85 touchdowns. He's MVP.
He's and
he can't get a sniff.
Well, he played the game too. Listen, in a different way.
And when you're talking about a blocking receiver,
yes, sir.
That's the first one
They changed the rule for him.
Oh, you can't even hit nobody in the ear like that no more.
Well, you can't peel back like and hit somebody.
Right. Crack it back. Yeah,
they changed the rule because he was the king of that.
I have a couple rules myself, Rich. I know this for a fact. Hey, when you have rules against you in the National Football League, you've been longer than you see it.
Stop playing, man. My Mel Blunt's in there.
Oh, boy. Put a jersey on.
I know. Put a jersey on.
That?
Put a jersey on. You told that to Mike Sherman, right? You told Mike Sherman put a jersey on?
Mike Sherman came across and said something to me, so I, you know. He's lucky Mercedes Sherelle Sapp was in that box leaning over the top. I looked up there. If she wasn't
your daughter?
Yeah, she melts my heart. You know that. So
right.
I had to go see the baby because I know if I had enacted what I was thinking, I was not going to see the baby after the game. So now I got to go home to the baby, man.
Warren Sapp here on the Rich Eisen Show. Okay, so the what did you think of the Hall of Fame class?
I am welcoming all brothers that endured this process because it's so funny to me now, Rich, that we see the presentation that they do now.
Yep.
David Baker's was lovely. I really like that. I don't mind the connection with the guys. Leroy Butler with his socks off, with his shoes off, his socks on in the cold. But you can't fake it to us. You already know. So it just so happens you show up at John Lynch's house and he's got 40 of his closest people there. I mean, just come on. You know how I find out?
How'd you find out?
I have a video. George Chin recorded me. Mm-hmm. I didn't know he had it on. I'm standing on the table in the living room at the hotel in New Orleans yelling at the TV. That's when I found out. Just like everybody else in the world found out, I found out.
Right. I don't know. It's kind of difficult now with COVID and there's no hotels, right? So, or they could, I guess, have a knock on the door.
No, you have a show just like we had on TV then, and you watch it from your house like I did.
Hmm. So, what did you think of Seymour's game back in the day? What did you think of Seymour's game back in the day?
I wish Bill would have let him go because they always told me that this big 6'6" monster from the, you know, Georgia Bulldog national champions, first time since Herschel Walker, so you give him a little that he could rush and do the things that were very special. And I always said that I would never constrain someone that's that generational of a player.
Mm-hmm.
You got to let him go. Got to let him go. 57 and a half sacks don't say Richard Seymour.
Mm-hmm.
But that's what he has.
Right. So those are the numbers, though.
That's the numbers.
And Bryant Young coming in the Hall of Fame.
Oh, man,
well,
Bryant Young played almost 90 sacks, was in the middle of that San Francisco 49ers.
Mooch was saying that they had Haley and Dolman who were in that Canton room with you, and B.Y. was the guy with the C on his chest.
And they had Stubblefield right beside him that won Defensive Player of the Year.
Right.
So, hey, you know how San Francisco is. They mount up a bunch of talent and come after you for a championship.
As you know, I know a lot of very proud Hurricanes, as you know.
Yes.
You are one of them. Irv is another one of them. I can go on and on and on. It's kind of wild how the one, if you will, snub that gets everybody upset is Hester.
We play this game to identify the most dangerous guy on the football field.
Mm-hmm.
And boy, when you was kicking that ball, no one went to the bathroom. No one went to the concession stand. You don't go nowhere to either you kick it out of bounds or kick it through the end zone. Because once Hester got his hands on it, my goodness, what a delight to watch.
I think maybe it's just folks.
Ask Tony Dungy. Tony Dungy went to the greatest showing of the Super Bowl just leaving. I know what he did. He went in front of the special team. We're going to kick it to him. We're going to go down there. We're going to set the tone. Touchdown, coach. Just like that, touchdown, coach.
Who is this, the one who told us the story about Dungy saying, like, I guess the Lord's Prayer that he had read before the game was the same one from the movie Hoosiers about David and Goliath?
Right.
And that he took it the wrong way as to mean
kick it to Hester?
Yeah.
Oh no, trust me.
I was
in the locker room when he said Reggie White didn't have it anymore. We're gonna go to Green Bay and bomb Reggie White with Jason Odom. I'm sorry, OD, but it was Jason Owen from the University of Florida. We're gonna go to Green Bay and block Reggie White with Jason Owen. Boy, Jason Odom. Reggie White had 3 sacks and blocked a punt. We got home. I came and see Tony on that button. I said, Coach, could you please give the opposing defensive lineman the same attention that I get? Please don't ever do that to me again. My bad, Warren. No doubt, your bad, Coach.
But that was his coaching way to talk it up.
It was a feeling with Tony. Tony prayed on everything. You know this. And if he had a feeling that this is what the message was, that's where he went. And he misread the message.
Man, I just could not believe when he kicked it to Devin Hester to start that game. And then Hester then actually came through with what we were expecting in the biggest moment. And we're like, oh, can this actually happen for the Bears tonight? Now we all know that it did.
Oh, no. Rex Grossman was a quarterback.
Nice.
you just had to be reemphasized. We're not kicking the ball to the most dangerous man on the football field, 23.
Right. But that's why I'm just saying maybe the selectors do not view kick returner, punt returner as on par with receiver, running back, or your position, anybody's position.
What?
I'm
just
third
of the game. Last time I checked.
Then that's the only reason for not giving Devin Hester first ballot status.
I saw something. Ross Tucker tweeted, if they don't put you know, Tony Boselli and Richard Seymour in the Hall of Fame, I'm taking my name off the list. I want to know who in the hell let you vote in the first place.
Well, no, I think he was just...
No, I'm serious. No. I'm serious. I mean, what? What did I miss?
No,
I mean,
I think what you missed was... I think what you missed is Ross... I don't think he's got a vote. I think he was just being self-effacing that he's going to take his name off the list of candidacy.
Right. Oh, okay. Oh, that's what he was saying.
He was yes.
That's the... that don't make no sense either. That's even worse.
I think that's what you missed.
That's even worse. And you have no shot at it. And you talking trash. Oh God! What? Some platforms.
There you go. So
somebody gonna get it.
Warren Sapp, what do you think of what's going on with Kyler Murray? What is happening with Kyler Murray? What do you think?
These kids really need to understand. Do not let your timeline become your lifeline, gentlemen and ladies out there in the world. Live a life that social media don't dictate what's really going on. Sometimes when I put some fishing, I'm sitting on my couch. Just to go fishing. I mean, I'm telling you, don't let your timeline become your lifeline. And why in the hell would you, as the franchise quarterback of a franchise, unfollow them? And then what did he do? Acid wash? Was the acid wash scrub?
Yeah, he scrubbed it all off. And then say nothing.
But that is the saying.
Yeah,
You've already told us.
But what is he saying is the point. Like, I don't know what he's saying. And what,
I want out. But why would you want out? And Kingsbury is basically, and I heard you earlier, and you was like, you know, his money and whatever, and there's no question he can play. Yeah, it is. Because that playoff game, you weren't as good as your last game. And I want to know what the hell you were doing in that end zone when you flipped that ball up on that pick six. I've never seen that. We've looked at a lot of football, Rich. I've seen Dan Orlovsky run out the back of that thing with a cock ready to throw for a safety. I've never seen that in the pocket, flip, run, click, get ready to fall, and just gift wrap six? And you down 14? Oh, man. I watched that game, and that didn't look like an NFL quarterback.
Huh.
That didn't look like an NFL. No, I'm not one in the playoffs. This is the playoffs. This is the best of the best, a run for a championship. And that's your performance you put up, and then you want to scrape your Instagram of the Cardinals? Maybe the Cardinals need to wipe themselves for you, son. Because evidently you ain't on the right program. You don't do that out in the open like that. Go in there and have a conversation. When I had my first year with the Bucks, and everything went crazy, we went 2-7 at the end, and Sam Weiss was running, God bless his soul, was running a three-ring circus, and he was wringling brothers in the middle with the big hat. I went straight to Rich McKay. I said, no way. I can't do this. He said, calm down, big dog. Let me go get you a coach, and then you come back and see me after the new year, and we'll see where we're at. That's what you do. You go in and have a conversation with the powers to be.
Well, maybe he did, and it didn't go the way that he wanted
to. Well, then you suck it up like a grown man, and you wait for the consequences because you already know what's coming. Why alert the world?
Yeah, I don't, why alert the world?
Why alert the world to your problems?
That's exactly, and that's why we talk about it on shows like this and others, because why alert
But
the
what
world.
You're also alert like, but no, but is your minion of followers to back you of, oh, they need to do this. They need.
I mean, what does that mean, minions of followers? If they have their contractual control on you, you need to force your way out. I mean, that's the
and
real
you
deal.
You do it with the people behind you.
Well,
and your
so that's
right?
what. Like, so let's dive into this a little bit, Warren Sapp. Like, why alert the world?
I don't know. We didn't live in that social media world. The less you said, the better your chances were of this turning out well for you, because there's less people that know it. That's when a conspiracy starts. When two or three people get together and come up with a wild plan.
Well, alert.
When you, me, my agent, or my agent, me, and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers are negotiating,
right.
I left. I told Rosenhaus, here's the code to the house. I'm leaving. I'm leaving. Because if the Bucs say something about me that I take personal, it's going to be a long time before I wash that off my back. So you leave. You take the – I always tell people whenever I do the step in the lab, I take the emotion out. I'm just watching the game. I'm just watching the tape. Mm-hmm. I'm just watching technique. Mm-hmm. This ain't personal. Mm-hmm. That's what it is with a contract negotiations. Everybody saw the big year at the end. That's why they set up these rookie contracts. So now your representative and you have to be on board with the team. And then if they don't want to give you this, then find a nice, easy way for me to exit, put me somewhere where I have a little bit of say in it, and let's move on.
Right.
But don't do this foolishness, and now me and Rich got to sit here and speculate and hypothesize about you scrubbing your Instagram and all this foolishness. Not right.
Well, what ended up happening?
I don't
think
I would have followed the Bucks when I was on the team. Well, I mean, so there's nothing to talk about. I don't follow them. I work there.
So what ended up happening was on Super Sunday, Chris Mortensen tweeted out.
Yeah,
did you see that?
No.
Okay. See, he tweets out, the odd vibe between the Cardinals and Kyler Murray is indeed alarming. Murray is described as self-centered, immature, and finger-pointed per sources. Murray is frustrated with franchise that was embarrassed by playoff loss to Rams and thinks he's being framed as the scapegoat. And then he asks, where is it headed? Despite the acrimony, the Cardinals expect things to calm down, and Murray is their QB. I mean, he's under contract unless he demands out, right? The select veterans, here's the one. Select veterans hope to reach Murray on how he handles adversity better. Kingsbury also self-scouting where he could provide better alternatives for the QB. If you're a veteran on the team, I mean, what do you think that means, that giving him advice on how to handle things better? What do you think that means?
Boy, there's three things in the locker room you don't discuss. Your wife, your children, and money. I ain't got nothing to do with your contract, Kyler. You got to handle that on your own, son. You come in here, do your job, I'm going to do mine. We're going to pull together, and everyone achieves more in a team situation.
What if the handling things better means in the adversity of a game?
You're a grown man. It's time to step up. This is a professional league. You know, they get a check, too. Sometimes they're better than you. Sometimes we didn't execute. But like I said, Rich, that last playoff game, it didn't look like an NFL quarterback to me. Something was really, really off.
So what could that have been?
I don't know. I don't know. Maybe it was some negotiation that they were talking about. They were going to settle up because they did start off hot.
They
started off hot. And then probably your agent is calling and like, let's go and finish this thing before it gets too crazy. And now the number is way out of, you know, astronomical.
So it's money, you think?
It's got to be the contract because that's the security in which we all want to go to work with, right?
Mm-hmm.
And put yourself on the line. How much do you love me? Where the money at?
Warren Sapp here on the Rich Eisen Show.
It ain't show friends. It's show business. Show business.
Yeah. What do you think of Brady having 6 days between announcing retirement and saying never say never?
It's not easy to let go, Rich. Especially when you went for 53-16, led the league in passing. I mean, there's nothing wrong with that Tampa Bay team except the defense. They can't rush the passer from inside. You know, my two tackles inside, just they don't believe in rushing the pass.
Nah.
We play run. It's not Earl Campbell in the backfield crazy. They're throwing the ball. But it's tough. When you're talking about someone with that kind of excellence, that kind of drive, that kind of focus.
Right.
Hey, Phil Simms used to say something to me when I worked with him on Inside NFL.
Uh-huh.
He's like, you just walked away. You're in good shape and everything. I'm like, yo, man, it was time. He's like, they would have had to pry the helmet from my cold, dead fingers.
Mm.
I said, you play in a different league. It's a little bit better money situation. So that's why Aaron Donald could decide to go home,
right?
Because it's just a different situation. But for somebody like Brady, I mean, he's right there. If Todd Bowles don't call the all-out blitz and the Bucks don't run it, I mean, come on. My linebacker, Levante David, is standing there with his hands on his hip as the play is going on. Unbelievable, man. I mean, just come on. Your last pass is to Mike Evans over the top of the number one cornerback in the National Football League for six. And that's how you
What do you think the Bucs are going to do?
Oh, my goodness. You know who his backup was, right?
Yes, sir.
All righty. We need a new quarterback.
So that's what I don't know. Did
Russell Wilson don't like Tampa? Sierra, we got some good stuff down there. We got an amphitheater, girl. You do big shows there.
No taxes?
Am I tampering?
Yeah, no taxes. No taxes.
He already know that. He's smart enough to know that. George ain't that far from it where Sierra first started.
So that's it? Like it's Jason Light taking a big swing over the next 4 weeks?
Why wouldn't he?
Right?
Why wouldn't you?
I don't know. You think Kyle Trask, you can start something there?
So does Gronk come back without Brady?
No, but that's the whole
does
thing.
Does Godwin come back without Brady?
But if I'm Jason Light and I hear Tom Brady have only 3 business days or 5 days at his home saying never say never, I'm thinking, all right, the light's still on
a
little bit here.
Didn't he have a contract that he's leaving?
He still is on the team.
That's what I'm saying. I mean, I think we still have his.
No, I know that. And if I heard that, and even though the final Man in the Arena episode is all about him walking away, and that gives you an entry of his mindset about what he's
44.
Thinking. No, I know. That's the most amazing thing about him, Warren, is he's a 44-year-old guy, and I'm surprised that he's stepping away. I'm surprised he
should have been.
Yeah. I know.
It's crazy.
So that's what I'm saying. If I'm Tampa, I'm kind of playing it a half measure in a way because I want Brady to come back.
But before you make that decision to go all out, you call. You make the call. You make the call.
And what if he says, "Yeah, go do your thing."
You gotta go forward.
Then you gotta go forward. What happens if Brady then decides around the middle of the summer?
But then you still have the contract. Then I have two premier quarterbacks in this thing.
Then you clearly, but not if you. Let's say you do make a big move and somehow you do get some big veteran name, like you said, Russell Wilson. Okay. Say I don't know if this happens on this green earth, but Aaron Rodgers, something like that, is what I'm saying. And Brady says, "I want to come back." Then you trade him and you get something back. Would you have a problem if Brady tells the Bucks, "Iffy, I don't know, go somewhere else," and then decides to come back?
No. You keep Rodgers and you trade Brady. Right.
That's what I'm saying.
Yes.
That's what I'm saying. That's what I would say.
Yes.
Correct. So you would have.
Way you go with the 45.
Would you have a problem with Brady saying, "I don't know right now," and then decides summer, "I kind of do," and plays it that way because he maybe wanted some other place?
I don't have a problem with it because. It's so hard to let go, Rich.
It is.
You just, come on. With a career like that, with numbers like that, and still performing like that?
Right.
I left because I couldn't rush the passer anymore. I knew it was a passing pass. Brett Favre did that little wiggle, came out. I tried to rush this kid. He had me locked up. He threw it over the top, the driver. I said, I told the kid, "You won't let me go now?" The ball is with God. The kid finally let me go. I looked out, boom, 85-yard touchdown. I said, "Yeah, it's time to go home." I knew it was pass. And I still couldn't get the press rush I want. That's when I knew it was time to go home. Brady's last play was over the top to Mike Evans on the best cornerback in the game. Over the world champ.
Yes.
Yes.
Correct.
The champ.
Right.
Yeah.
And his last snap was a handoff to Fournette for a touchdown to tie the game. Down 27-3, ties the game 27-0.
Like I said.
I know.
And it wasn't Drew Brees. It wasn't Peyton Manning with the arm strength.
No, it wasn't none of that because Drew Brees can throw it past 5 yards and be the good Peyton.
In the air on a rope.
On a rope. I mean, in the bucket. Boom.
What do you think Arians is thinking? What do you think he's thinking?
Please come back.
Just every day texting like, "Hey, Tom.
What's going on, Tom?
You know, since COVID, daytime drinking has really become a thing. I think Bruce is doubling it up right now, boy. Do you know who our backup was?
Bruce might be doing something other than just drinking.
Hey, don't do that.
Part of the reason why I'm bringing it up as well is that's just a concept that maybe at this advanced stage of his life, career, he just doesn't want to run it back with somebody else. Or he already said he wants to call plays maybe if Blethwich had gone. So I'm just wondering what you think his mindset is going into this offseason. Do you think he still wants to do it?
Bruce?
Yes.
You listen, man. Didn't they say Bruce ride around on the golf cart?
Yeah, I think his problem is his Achilles might be gone.
That's what I'm saying. Don't Bruce ride around the golf cart? It's kind of tough to call plays from the golf cart.
Yeah.
At practice. I mean, you don't use that. I mean, because that you ever heard that intercom thing?
What?
Oh, the helmet?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. I used to tell Quarles, I don't know how you go home at night after the four quarters of that. Oh, my goodness. That is not an easy thing to, oh, my goodness. Okay. No.
Warren Sapp here on the Rich Eisen Show. A few minutes left here. What do you think of Stafford as a Hall of Famer? Do you think he's a Hall of Famer?
I think his numbers will. Mm-hmm. But as far as the shake the annals of the game, I don't know no more. It ain't for me to decide.
No, I know that. Richard Sherman's made it an issue particularly. You know, obviously we've been talking about it quite
come
a bit.
On.
I'm not going to talk. I'm going to talk about, he was talking about it on his podcast. But the HOF bar is incredibly low now, like a participation trophy. Oof. No all-decade team, no all-pro, no MVP, one Pro Bowl, not even MVP of the Super Bowl. Never considered the best in any. He's talking about Stafford. Never considered the best in any year he played. At least Matt Ryan has an MVP. Is what Richard Sherman says.
Okay.
In response to my colleague, Mike Robinson.
Is Richard Sherman ready to critique the class that just went in?
I don't know.
Then how has he already got the Matthew Stafford? Let's call him champ. Well, and let's be on to the next season.
I think what he's responding to, I guess, is the whole setup is that everybody in the media has been talking about, you know, as we always do, waiting for a Super Bowl and hyping it up, that if Stafford had won, and he just did, that the numbers that he has, 50,000 passing yards,
he can wind up top silly five. Numbers. He had no defense to back up everything that him and Megatron was doing up there.
I was saying the reason games
in Detroit, that boy did not play bad. He lit up the scoreboard and had nothing to back it up.
No run game either.
Oh, no, the year they had a running back, they went 0-16. ran Kevin Smith, my homeboy, to death.
This is what I'm saying, is that the reason why he didn't have these accolades.
Because he didn't have Aaron Donald and Von Miller and some other people on the other side. Yes.
I would,
his numbers, hey, we're going to see.
That if he had.
Because we all thought Devin Hester was a first ballot, right?
I thought so, too. So do you think Matthew Stafford is a Hall of Famer, Warren Sapp?
At no point. And me watching Matthew Stafford play, and he's still playing, have I looked at him and said, there's a Hall of Famer? I could say that. If he gets his gold jacket, I'll welcome him in, have a drink with him, tell him welcome to the club.
Of course.
But now I've never looked at Matthew Stafford at any point in his life in a playing career and said, that is a Hall of Famer.
Could that be because he's playing in Detroit? You know what I
mean? When he was playing with the Rams this year, throwing for whatever yards he threw for, throwing two interceptions and three touchdowns the other night and having nothing but Cooper Kupp to go to. And I don't know how the hell the Cincinnati Bengals didn't double him and make him throw the number 18. Collinsworth for having trouble with his name. So I was like, yeah, this is going to be a long night.
Sporadic, everybody. Right? Sporadic.
Sporadic, baby. I'm like, you better go sporadic because you ain't going Kupp. Your Kupp will not run it over in this game. And if they did that, they were home. But for some reason, watch. Bengals.
Well, I don't know, man. Again, like
he's got numbers.
Stafford's got numbers.
What does Tony Romo have? 40,000? Is he a Hall of Famer?
No.
Okay.
No, he's not. But Stafford now has a ring.
Oh, the ring.
Stafford now has a ring.
I forgot
the ring. No, I mean, that doesn't matter. And he did have that drive in this with 6 minutes to go, and he had a terrific postseason. And I understand that people are like, well, then put Flacco in. But it's a totally different ball. No, it's a different ball. Joe Flacco doesn't have 50,000 passing yards. Nope. And by the time it's all said and done, Stafford could have a second ring. And he could, but obviously, even if he doesn't, he's going to have thousands upon thousands of more passing yards. And
you can't make the Pro Bowl in Detroit, though.
That's exactly right. Honestly, put
unless
you mind,
Barry Sanders.
I mean, all of those things that Sherman said he could not achieve in Detroit, and he spent 12 years there. I mean, you're going to be an all-pro quarterback in Detroit when you know, in the NFC, Favre's doing it too at the same time.
And you know this like I do.
You know, and,
come on. No.
Well, Favre had already left. It was stacked. Well, no, Favre was still around, actually. I mean, or I don't know. And everyone else in the NFC was doing what they were doing. Just off the top of my head, I'm trying to name who the all-pro NFC quarterbacks were at the time. But at any rate, and then
give me the year, and then I can help you with it. But other than that,
well, I mean, I guess he comes in 2009. Yeah, 2010.
Yeah, 09, right when I retired.
Right. So Favre was still around. I mean, he was doing it in Minnesota.
Didn't leave until what, 12?
Right. Exactly. I know.
Favre was
trust
always
me
around.
I don't know. I'm caping for him.
No. Listen, Matthew Stafford, when it's all said and done, puts another one on. Maybe wins an MVP. Ain't no telling. I mean, because Sean McVay is going to throw this ball.
Unless he's going to be in the booth.
Who booth?
Sean McVay might leave to go be an announcer.
Oh, you know what? I'm done with this. I used to say after we won the championship in Tampa, I showed back up in Tampa after we won the Super Bowl. Everybody had a damn radio show. Everybody had a billboard. Everybody had this. Everybody had that. I'm like, we finna get our ass kicked. Ain't nobody working out in the offseason. So you telling me Aaron Donald's gonna retire? Sean McVay is going to the booth to be the new John Gruden on Monday Night Football with all the X's and O's and all of that?
Maybe, yeah.
Are you kidding me?
I'm not. I'm not.
They do write some crazy scripts in L.A.
Okay. Do you know?
I'm with you.
Well, they write big checks, and I think that's.
Do you know who's got a job open in a booth for next year?
NBC?
Jeff Bezos.
Yeah.
It's got a job open. Yeah.
Jeff Bezos
Amazon is hosting, airing Thursday Night Football starting this fall.
Bezos.
Yeah, man.
I got the chalkboard for you, baby. Come see it, boy.
Jeff Bezos is going to write checks
I don't need a big one, Jeff. I just want a board where I can do my thing and show you who's going to rush this pass on Thursday night and let your boy go.
That's right. People are going to be answering those phones.
Come on.
If he's calling, I don't think he's the one who's making the phone calls. But
just say you represent Jeff Bezos. That's enough for me.
Okay. Everything's good in your hood?
The little girl came home with a master's degree. Boy, there's a master's degree with SAP underneath it, baby. That is a beautiful thing, Rich.
So she's one degree shy of being Dr. SAP?
I don't think she's going for that. Okay. We'll take the HOF as the doctor in the family. Boy, a master's degree, the baby done come home with it. Now I need to get her a job, Rich. You know somebody?
Okay.
Bezos. The baby get the job, not me.
Bezos. Okay. All right.
And then the boys at FAU and everybody's good and healthy. Mom's good and healthy, kicking rump. So I can't complain. Oh, you already know, baby. Thank you.
Thank you for coming in, Warren.
Hey, tell Susie and the kids I say hello.
I appreciate that. She's probably out there right now saying hello to you. So thanks for calling in, brother. Coming in.
Come on.
Great to see you.
Always.
He texts me during game day morning.
Yeah, it's just the Kevin Garnett show.
It's so great. You're like Monster Week. Yeah, okay, hold on a minute. Give this man a pen. It's like Monster Week. You must have had a lot of great guests. And I'm like, are you in town? Like, just let me know you're in town, you know? Let me know you're in town.
Heads up.
He kills me.
I booked him in the middle of hour three of game day morning. I forgot to send it on a list to say send him an email to come here. All right, Warren Sapp at Warren Sapp on Twitter and on Instagram, right here on the Rich Eisen Show. We'll let you know how our Wednesday show is shaping up in a second. It's that time of year, people. Spring has sprung, and that means spring cleaning, or at least the partner in your life is demanding that you do it. Whether that means stocking up on cleaning supplies or swapping out your winter clothes for new spring clothes, make sure you're using Ibotta and get real cash back with every purchase. Ibotta is a free app that gives you the most cash back every time you shop on hundreds of items from groceries to beauty supplies to toys. The average Ibotta user earns $256 per year. That could cover the cost of an entire shopping trip, that flight you've been eyeing, or the fancy dinner you've been craving. Join the over 50 million users and earn cash back every time you shop from over 2,700 brands and retailers. And right now, Ibotta is offering our listeners $5 for just trying Ibotta by using the code EISEN when you register. Just go to the App Store or Google Play Store and download the free Ibotta app to start earning cash back and use my code EISEN. That's IBOTTA in the Google Play or App Store and use my code EISEN.
Afford Anything talks about how to avoid common pitfalls, how to refine your mental models, and how to think about how to think.
Paula, while certainly you can mess up on $1 million a year, it is far less likely than it is on $30,000 a year.
Right.
I would meet wonderful people that were struggling with a budget that was super tight. It was 100%. You need to make more money.
Make smarter choices and build a better life.
Afford Anything, wherever you listen.
All right, back here on the Rich Eisen Show. What's going on over there, sir?
They're just talking about, Carson Wentz trade rumors. That's another name that's popping up.
I read an article about him this today, and if they get rid of him after a certain date, it's just a $15 million hit.
Yeah.
This is the last year in which his guaranteed money is on his contract.
Yeah.
If you could get an upgrade, if you will, at quarterback, would you spend $15 million to do it if you're Jim Irsay?
I know that's been a Rodgers spot rumor as well. I mean, talk about a team that's kind of ready-made. Really good offense, really good offensive line, good defense.
That's what I'm going to do. That's what we're going to do tomorrow. I have a list here.
Of things to do?
No. Funny. Hold on, where is it?
We still need to talk about
it. You can see it right here in my book. Here, can you see it in my book? Right here. I've written a list. It's all 32 teams of their needs at quarterback. And
there's at least 20. Yeah.
Well, no, again, as you know, there's a list of we've got the guy, we need the guy, we think we have the guy, and we're going to stick with him.
Right.
And
what is Derek Carr on that list?
I have Derek Carr and the Raiders on the list of we think we've got the guy and we're going to stick with him.
Yeah.
I actually have four categories here. Let's workshop it. I have quarterback teams to definitely need, and then no way for a long time. And then I split the other ones into maybe we need a new one.
So no
and
way.
Then or we're going to stick with the guy and hold on to him for
so
the moment.
No way for a long time is like the Chargers, Chiefs, Bengals, like that.
Yes. Yeah. And then the sticking and hoping is like the Jets.
Right. And the Patriots and the Jaguars like that.
Well, the Jaguars are not for a long time.
Yeah.
I'm not buying this, man.
Patriots
on,
are for, not for a long time either.
Dude, man. Patriots are not for a long time. Right. I mean, but
they're
the
also hoping.
The Jaguars, I know that, but.
Yeah, but I get what you're saying. You're dude, hoping on Zach Wilson.
Not for a long time is at least 4 years.
Yeah.
Okay. But for the Jets, I put them in the sticking and hoping. Because if this kid doesn't, you know, do something in the next 2 years or something like that, I don't know what might happen. Who the hell knows? I mean, it's just kind of crazy these days about quarterbacks. I mean, Kyler Murray, after 3 years, is scrubbing his Instagram account. And Carson Wentz gets traded in 1 year and spits the bit in the last two games. And now all of a sudden, the guy who's definitely there is going to be traded again. And Jared Goff's in the Super Bowl and he's out because Stafford says, I want out. This is just not normal times anymore for quarterbacks, you know? So we'll do that tomorrow. That'll be on tomorrow's show. Charlie Day is going to be here, too. That'll be a lot of
fun.
Yes, as expected. So that was fun with Warren Sapp right there. What a show we had the Tuesday after Super Bowl 56 here in rainy Los Angeles, I think. Callaway Rogue here on the Rich Eisen Show is something that I can't wait to get in my hands. We haven't gotten a new Callaway Rogues yet, but Callaway,
I'm excited.
I know that because
I'm dying.
You will take one, and I'll be like, "What happened to our new Callaway Rogue?"
I borrowed it.
Well, let's just ask for two.
I think they might send us a couple.
Oh, great. Fantastic.
We'll find out.
Go. I got to test them out.
The Rogue ST driver has been speed-tuned to be Callaway's fastest, most stable driver ever. Every Rogue ST is engineered with a new tungsten speed cartridge, which gives you a little bit more speed on off-center hits, which I definitely need, and provides more forgiveness thanks to high MOI. There's so many different types of Rogue ST for every player. Most golfers are going to fit into the Max. There's the Max D, dedicated draw model for players who need more shot shape correction. Now there's, if you need something more low spin, there's Max LS. But for the true players out there, meaning this is not for you, Rich.
Oh, yeah.
The Rogue ST Triple Diamond LS is the compact low spin head that the tour players love. Callaway's gone through every aspect of speed, so all you have to do is go Rogue. Find your Rogue ST driver at callawaygolf.com/go-rogue. What's your main takeaway from today's show, gents? We had a lot of opinions and a lot of... I mean, I don't know. I mean, the first hour story from Eric Weddle is just so mind-blowing. Mike McCarthy saying that he brought up Sean Payton to Jerry Jones. As he calls it, the narrative, the Sean Payton narrative.
Between those two stories and then all this Matthew Stafford Hall of Fame talk. And I just think about it. Like, I just think, how are you going to keep the guy who's top three, top five all time in passing yards and every passing?
With a Super Bowl ring.
With a Super Bowl ring out of the Hall of Fame. You're just not going to be able to do it. And also think about this. He did this year what literally only Tom Brady has done, which is switch teams, be the Super Bowl favorite, and then win the Super Bowl. It's him and Tom Brady. That's
on your home field.
Your home field. That's it.
And put the NFC Championship on your home field.
It's incredible.
Which topped Brady.
It's incredible.
I mean, that's insane.
And Brady didn't win the division either.
That's what I mean.
Right.
He did this year, but not the year he won it.
Brady had to win every playoff game on the road.
On the road.
To get to the Super Bowl. It's incredible. I just think.
But he doesn't get the credit for it because he's that guy from the Lions.
And that's true. That's
he's that guy
fair.
From the Lions. And that's why, you know, you could say for the first 12 years of his career, I never look at him as a Hall of Famer. I never looked at him as a Hall of Famer, as Warren Sapp just said. And neither did I. Neither did I, because he was a guy who was supremely talented in college, who made the first overall selection a worthy one in terms of his dependability and sturdiness. And on occasion, you know, terrific throws. But as Warren even pointed out, the defense wasn't there to support him, set it up. And that's why he doesn't have the All-Pros and the Pro Bowls and all of that and the MVPs. Like now, if we get the Rams running it essentially all back, Okay.
Which I feel like.
Let's say Les Snead can work his magic and get most everyone back, similar to what Jason Light was able to do with Tampa last year, right? Maybe you're going to get everybody back, first time since the Steelers in the mid-70s to have all starters back the following year. Don't know if that's going to happen here. But let's say he gets most of them back. Sean McVay stays put, doesn't go to a booth. And Aaron Donald gets some time away from games, says, you know what, I want to go back to back.
I'll play one more.
Yeah. You know? And let's just say, you know, Bobby Trees, Robert Woods comes back before Odell, who is a great late-season addition around November
or
December.
Exactly what happened this year. Just get thrown in for the stretch run.
And let's just get up to speed, you know? and all of that. And Stafford does it again.
Now there's no
back-to-back first time since Brady. Now you start looking at him as a Hall of Famer because he's now in L.A. But because he's around a winning team and he's performing with a winning team and giving the wins. You didn't have that opportunity in Detroit.
Yeah.
Just saying.
What are you saying?
I want to thank Eric Weddle. I want to thank Mark McCarthy. And I want to thank Warren Sapp. And, of course, you. Right here on this Tuesday show. We'll see you Wednesday.